Hola y bienvenidos todos a Learn English with Reza and Craig.
Aprender inglés con Reza y Craig, episode 2.
So Craig, here we are again.
Here we are.
How are you?
In Valencia, very well. Did you have a good week?
I did, thanks. I did, very good. And now I'm just relaxing, taking it easy.
Good, pleased to hear it. So let's begin this week with our grammar focus. Reza, what have you got for us this week?
Well, if you remember, last time we were talking about the present simple.
That's right.
And its various uses. We had the present simple for repeated actions, habitual actions. We had the present simple for things which are always true, they're permanent, they never change, like the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. We had present simple for characteristics, like my mum's very house proud, it's a characteristic. We had it for timetables, like my plane leaves tomorrow at 3 p.m.
My lesson starts at 6. Yeah,
exactly, timetables, horarios. Well, now, I was thinking about talking about another present tense today, but the present continuous.
That's interesting, because we received an email from Maria from Barcelona, who asked us to talk about the difference between the present simple and the present continuous.
Okay, so the present continuous, if we think about the word continuous, if something continues, that means it's not over, it's happening now. So the present continuous is generally used, more or less, to talk about things which are happening now. They're in progress. In fact, some people call it the present progressive. For things in progress, they're happening now.
We're speaking together, we're sitting down, we're talking into a microphone, we're making a podcast, present continuous.
Right. We don't make a podcast every day. That's present simple. We don't do it every day, but we are doing it right now. Present continuous. We are doing.
And are there any other uses of the present continuous? Se puede emplearlo por otras cosas, hablando del futuro,
ejemplo? Yeah, exactly. El futuro, the future, is a very common use of the present continuous. That's a tricky one because it doesn't seem logical. The present isn't the future. Well, that's true. However, we do say things like, let's see, tomorrow, I'm visiting my friend Pedro. Tomorrow, that's the future. But I said, I'm visiting. That's the present continuous. I'm visiting. But it isn't happening now. No, no. It's going to happen tomorrow. But you can use the present continuous for that. I guess in Spanish you'd say, mañana voy a visitar.
So it's something that's organized. It's not when you suddenly decide now you're going to do something. It's something that is planned for the future.
That's right. It's a plan or an intention. It isn't spontaneous. I know that Pedro's expecting me tomorrow. That's present continuous.
I'm going to see my family at the weekend. I'm writing an email later this afternoon.
Exactly. I'm traveling to Madrid next week. I'm having soup for my dinner tonight.
Are you?
Yes, I am actually. All those are future plans. Now, it may not go according to plan, but it's my plan, it's my intention.
I see.
There is one other common use of the present continuous.
Tell us.
Or present progressive, if you like. Oh, patience. What if I said to you, my mum, here we go, always talking about my mum. My mum's always shouting at me.
Is she?
For being so messy. She's always shouting at me.
You said that last episode.
I know I talked about my mum, but we were practicing the present simple then. I said that my mum tidies up a lot and things like that.
And she's very house proud.
She's house proud, yeah. But now I'm using a present continuous. I'm saying my mum is always shouting at me for being messy. Now, my mum, she isn't shouting at me right now at this moment. Thank goodness she's in Ireland and I'm in Spain, so that's not the case. But it's something that she does a lot, and it's kind of irritating for me. That is a case where we often use the present continuous in English.
Creo que entiendo. Entonces, si algo te molesta o te da ira o...
Si algo te molesta y suele ocurrir mucho, con frecuencia o se repite y hay este elemento de que de irritación suele ser present continuous. So y muy a menudo con un adverbio como always. My mom's always shouting at me, and it's really annoying.
Moving on to our pronunciation spots. Last episode, we spoke about the schwa sound, the sound in English. Today, I'd like to speak about two sounds which can cause problems for Spanish speakers. One sound is a, for example, cat, and the other sound is a, for example, cut. So cat, gato, or cut, cortar. Now, you've studied a little Valenciano, haven't you, Reza?
I have, yeah.
Is it correct to say that the A sound doesn't exist in Castellano, but it does exist in Valenciano and Catalan?
I think so. Like Valencia.
Yeah, Valencia. So that A is the sound you need for words like cat or hat or cap. A. And the difference is with A for cup, the mouth is open wider and the tongue is forward. La lengua es un poco más hacia adelante. With the other sound, A, la lengua va un poco detrás en la boca. Y está un poquito más cerrado la boca. Entonces, repite. A. A. Cat. Cut. Hat. And hut. Hat. Sombrero. And hut. I think is cabaño o refugio. Pizza hut. And cap and cup, for example. And sack. Saco. Or to sack someone. Despedir. And suck, chupar. For example, to suck the head of the prawn, which in Spanish is...
Chupar la cabeza de la gamba?
Chupar la cabeza de la gamba, which I hate doing and I hate watching. You see some people eating paella with a gamba and they suck the juice out of the brains, out of the prawn. Do you do that? Do you suck the prawn?
No way, man. No.
I know people who do that, and it's I have to turn away. I can't watch it.
Do you know something I've just thought of, Craig?
Yeah.
Would you say the word in English, please? Gat. Say it in English.
Cat.
Cat. Say it again.
Cat.
Cat. Do you think you and I say it exactly the same?
Say it again.
Cat.
No, your pronunciation is somewhere in the middle of my cat and cut.
Yeah, I'd say so. And that's, I think, a regional variation because I come from Belfast. And in Belfast, we don't pronounce that cat sound. I'm trying to make an effort now to say it. Well, we don't normally pronounce it that way in Belfast. We say it something like cut, which isn't quite exactly what the Oxford English Dictionary will tell you. But that's a regional variation.
No, that's interesting, because the English I teach usually is London English from the south of England. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you have American English, Canadian English, English from the north of England, from Liverpool, Scotland, Manchester, Ireland. So, yeah, you have to remember that.
And isn't there some weird pronunciation up in the north of England of words like, can you say the word for me, Craig, in English, baño?
Bath.
And if I came from Manchester, might I say, or Lancashire somewhere, Bath?
Exactly, Bath.
Slightly different pronunciation, isn't it?
I'm having a bath. Very different.
Yeah, I'm having a bath.
I'm having a bath. Yeah.
I mean, I'm exaggerating, folks. People don't really speak like that, but kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of.
No, you're right. But usually, there's usually the context of what you're saying is clear. If you say to someone, I'm going to put a hat on my head, then obviously they'll realize it's hat and not hut. But I wanted to explain it because it's a problem sometimes with Spanish speakers confusing the a and the a.
So the context gives the meaning, even if there are little variations, like regional variations.
Yeah. Okay. Except if somebody looks at you with a look that you know they didn't understand a word that you said, then you have to seriously work harder on your pronunciation. But right. Usually these little vowel changes are not a big deal. Moving on then, Reza, to your tip. What's your hot tip today?
Okay, well, it's another tip about vocabulary. It's difficult to remember vocabulary. And if you write words in a random way, it makes it even harder. So my tip for this week is learn words and write them down in your notebook in groups.
In groups, in families.
Families, groups, whatever is an easy way for you. For example, imagine you learn the word competitor. You're talking about sport. Make a page or two in your notebook for sport. So write competitor. Write player. Write halftime. That's the break between the two parts of a game in the middle. Write kickoff. Cuando empieza el partido. All of these things you could write under sport. You could have another page or two. You could have many pages for food. In fact, you could have lots of pages. Where do you begin? Rice, el arroz, l'orchata. I'm not quite sure how to translate into English. Maybe tiger nut drink, but you get the idea.
Yeah, sandwich, bread, soup.
In families. And you'll find the word more easily when you have to revise it then, because you think, tomorrow I need to talk to someone about business, for example. So go to your section on business, and hopefully there you find useful words like make a profit, do a deal, etc., under the business section of your notebook. So that's my tip for this week.
Okay, very good tip. Learn your words in groups, in families. Collocate with Craig this week. Some more expressions with make and do. Last episode we spoke about some words which go together with make and do. And here are some more. You can do good or you can do harm. You can do somebody good, you can do somebody harm. You can also do well or do badly. You can do well in an exam or you can do badly. And do someone a favor. With do someone a favor, you put the object after do. So, could you do me a favor?
Sure. What is it?
Could you make me a cup of tea?
Yep. I'll just put the kettle on there.
Thank you very much. Reza's going to do me a favor.
Le hago un favor.
And another collocation with do is to do exercise. Now, you can do exercise thinking about sport. You can go to the gym and do exercise. And you can also do an exercise. You can do an English exercise. But exercise collocates or goes together with do. Have you done any exercise this week?
Exercise, yes. Every morning I do exercise as soon as I get up.
What kind of exercise do you do?
I exercise my arms, my legs, my knees, my neck. 20 minutes of easy stuff, just to limber up a bit. Limber up means get your body moving.
Do you do exercise to music?
Oh yeah, always. It's boring without music. Yeah. I just do it at home. I don't go to a gym, you know.
Mm-hmm. And some collocations with make. You can make a change. Hacer un cambio. You can make a change, make changes. And if you're not happy in a restaurant or a hotel, you ask for the manager and you
make a complaint.
You make a complaint. And if you decide to do something, you have made
up your mind.
You've made up your mind or you've made a decision.
Ah, so two expressions.
Two expressions with make. Make up your mind the same thing. And make a decision.
And Craig, our students are learning a lot of useful vocabulary here. Do you think they're making progress?
I think they're definitely. I hope they're making progress, especially if they're writing down these words in word families. So all the make words together, all the do words together. How do you say in English, hacer un esfuerzo?
To make an effort.
Right, make an effort. Try very hard. Make an effort to learn these words. Make an excuse. If you're late for a meeting, maybe you'll make an excuse. Love, war, and peace. All of those you make. Make love, not war. Make peace. And make a mistake. And you can probably hear that the neighbours upstairs are making a noise. Mm-hmm. A woman is walking. Can you hear? She's walking along the floor in high heels, tacones, and she's making a noise.
But there's nothing we can do about it.
Yes, there is, because I know her phone number. So I can pick up the phone and I can make a phone call. Now, you've made a suggestion before, so that's another collocation, to make a suggestion.
Right.
And would you like a cup of tea?
Yes, I think the kettle has just boiled.
Okay. So I've just made an offer. I've offered Reza a cup of tea. Make an offer is another collocation.
Hey, I put the kettle on.
That's right. You made the offer to me. So if you remember the Godfather, El Padrino, they made an offer that you can't refuse. I'm going to make you an offer that you can't refuse. Reza, your phrasal verb spot. What's your phrasal verb for this week, Reza?
Well, do you remember last week we talked about take up? Like, take up a hobby, that means start it, begin it. Take up time, take up space, that's use. And we also said that the electrician might have to take up my floorboards. That means lift them up. Well, this week's phrasal verb also uses the verb take, but we're using a different preposition. This week it's on, take on, not up. Now, by changing the preposition in a phrasal verb, you completely change the meaning. Now, I told you about that electrician who had to come and might have to take up my floorboards. Well, he did come.
When did he come?
He came last week.
Okay.
Last Friday.
And did he do the job?
He did, but you know what? He took me on. He took me on, Craig. He charged double what most people should charge for a really terrible job. That's to take someone on to full. Engañar, me engañó.
I'm really sorry. How much did he take you on for?
Double the ordinary amount. Double. He really fooled me.
These electricians, that's the job we should be doing. We should be electricians, not English teachers. Then we can take other people on.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I've got some other meanings of take on for you. It's the start of a new academic year, and the British Council in Valencia, where Craig and I work, they are taking on new staff.
That means to employ, to give work to someone.
That's right. Take on new staff. Coger, emplear, personal, nuevo.
Añadir a la plantilla.
Exactly. That's a better, more precise meaning. Another very common meaning of take on is to take on work. So I said that the British Council take on staff, that means they give work, but you can say that the employee takes on work, that means he accepts work.
So if you're doing too much work and then you agree to do more, you take on more work. Maybe you take on too much work.
People often say that, Craig. They say, oh, I'm really tired because I've taken on too much work. I've aceptado demasiado. I've taken on too much work.
Let me ask you something. Do you think now, be honest, do you think you've taken on too much to do this podcast with me?
No, not at all. It's great fun. It's a pleasure.
That's good to hear.
I'm really enjoying it.
Hopefully, in the future, we'll be able to take on one or two sponsors.
I do hope so. And who knows, Craig, maybe we'll become so famous that we can take on our biggest competitors and be the number one. To take on a competitor means to challenge someone, take on an opponent.
Well, I hope that happens, but just for now, I'm going in to make the tea.
Yeah, let's have some tea. Good idea.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later. Licensed by Creative Commons under a BYNC license at ccmixter.org. Si quieres mandarnos un comentario sobre este podcast o una pregunta sobre la gramática, la pronunciación o el vocabulario de inglés, mándanos un email a mentionteachers@yahoo.es.